Our text today is John chapter 1 and the first 14 verses. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And if you're physically able to stand, would you please do so, and let's honor God as I read his word audibly, and then we spend some time together contemplating what these truths mean to us. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Verse 9. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And finally, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Our Father, we just want to thank you. What a great privilege it is to actually read the Bible and know that it's true. What a tremendous blessing it is to be able to read your word and actually understand. We want to thank you today, Father, that you have brought the reality of these truths into our lives. Thank you that being born again is not just a myth or a story or a fable that we read about, Lord. We're so thankful that this is reality. And so would you meet us now as we contemplate these truths about our Lord, our Savior, our King, our Master, our Maker. Would you help us now as we contemplate these truths to find our minds fully enveloped, Lord. Shine here today, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, shine on this meeting. Holy Spirit, bring your light and your power. Lord, work very carefully, yet very succinctly among us. For your glory and for the good of our souls, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. And as we begin this series, and particularly as we look now at the book of John, this initial sermon on these first 14 verses, it's probably the same as in your Bible. The heading is probably the Word became flesh. And so that's what we're going to contemplate today as we think about an initial presentation of this gospel. The author of this gospel is believed to be the Apostle John. Now, we say that because all of the proof, all of the evidence points to that fact, okay? And so we don't have to sit and wrestle about that. It's not a matter to be arguing about. We just believe that he's the author, okay? The date is certainly in the late first century. So some of your Bibles may say 85, some may say 90 A.D., but certainly in the late first century, right? The gospel emphasizes the divinity of Jesus. Remember we talked about that last time? This is the gospel that emphasizes the fact that Jesus is God. Yes? And there's so many different miracles recorded in the other gospels. This gospel records 7 miracles. And each one of these miracles is specifically designed for you to see that Jesus is God. He's Lord over all of his creation. Okay? This gospel focuses on Jesus' ministry in Jerusalem as opposed to Galilee or other areas. And then finally, by way of introduction, if you'll remember from last time, this gospel is evangelistic, okay? Can you turn to John 20? You remember these three verses here, John 20, verse 30 and 31? Now, Jesus did many other things in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, right? So he's saying that the Gospel of John is not written to be exhaustive to describe everything that Jesus did, right? Neither is any gospel. But look at 31. With that fact in front of us, he says, but these are written so that you may what? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And look at this, that by believing you may have what? Life. Life in his name. Okay? So this is what? This is what we call evangelism. Evangelism is not simply going out and telling your testimony. That's your testimony is fine. We don't minimize testimony. But evangelism is telling people about who? Jesus. Right? Euangelion, the good news is not, I'm thankful that I'm saved, and I'm thankful that I can tell you, but that ain't the best news. The good news is the same one that what? Saved me can what? He can save you. Yeah, that's the good news. That's the light that we want shining in that situation. I thank God he says that you and I are salt and light, but you know we're not the true light. Right? We our little light bulb is shining so we can go and people in darkness, we want them to see a little bit so they can see their need for Jesus. Right? So this gospel is written to be evangelistic. We good so far? So these are the two thoughts that we'll take today, and then we'll wrap up. We're going to look at the person of Christ and the work of Christ. Okay? Look at, you remember what I said to the children? We're going to look at who he is and what? What he did. Okay? Who he is and what he did. And then we'll be done for today. Okay? Is that pretty straightforward? I think we can handle that. Now, this is critical. Remember that when we're talking about the person of Christ, Christ is the one and only God-man. He's not 50% God and 50% man. I've heard that theology so much. That is so perverted. How can he be half God and half man? What is that? That's the reason he's unique. There never has been and never will be another Christ. Right? He is the God-man. Okay? He's not just God, even though he is God, and he's not just what? Man, even though he is man. Okay? He's unique. And so we look at his deity. That's the divine side of him. We look at the fact that he's God. And so I believe that John starts out with that here. You got verses 1 and 2? Go back to John 1. In the beginning was what? The Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
We have an ambulance people coming in here.
Okay.
Teresa is sick.
Okay.
And they will be coming in over a few minutes.
Okay. All right. The Word was God, yes?
Amen.
He was in the beginning with God. You cannot be confused by that. That is intuitively obvious even to the most casual reader. Right? Everybody sees that. He's the Logos. He is the Word. All right? The Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
He was there in the beginning. And so this fact lays out before us so that we cannot miss it. And so if you could turn to Psalm 90 and verse 2. Psalm 90 and verse 2. This is what the psalmist says. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you have formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, what? You are God. And so here's the issue. He eternally existed as the Word. People that have difficulty with this fact, only when you use the name Jesus, they have trouble with the fact of him being God, because they only look at when we came to know him as Jesus. Amen. We came to know him as Jesus, but he existed eternally before that. Amen. Before he revealed himself to us as Jesus, he was the Word. You got it? Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you have formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are what? You're God, okay? So here's the issue, and here's the thing I want you to remember. Before heaven, Jesus existed, or the Word existed. Before earth and before planets, right? Before there were angels and before there was sunshine and rain, the Word existed. He was there before there was anything. Right? From everlasting to everlasting. Before he created anything, he existed. Okay? He has no beginning. Yes? And he has no ending. He is the eternal Word. Then we also notice that he is the creator of all things. You go back to John chapter 1 and verse 3. John chapter 1 and verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the creator. Now, if you hold your place there and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and you notice verse 16. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And so not only did he create everything, but he what? He holds it all together. Things cannot exist without Christ. You can't exist without. Your molecules in your body would fall apart if Christ wasn't there. The fabric in that chair and on this floor, he holds every molecule of his creation together. Yes, he does. The very air that you breathe. The molecular structure there would be no molecular structure if God didn't hold it what? Together. Okay? And so this is the great blessing, is to know who made it all. God alone creates everything from nothing. There are people who misuse, there's a verse in Romans 4. It says he calls things into existence that are not. And you hear a lot of preachers and folks using that today. They claim in something that don't exist, and they're going to call it. Come on. Amen. That verse says God does that. Amen. Go back and read the verse. God is the one that calls things into existence that does not exist. Not people. Right. And it's so sad to hear preachers today this is really tragic. People today have been convinced that they are little gods and that they can call into existence that which does not exist. Now, that's perversion. Why is that important? The Bible portrays Christ. He's the only one that can do that. And in his eternal existence, he did it. He created all things. You remember how Colossians said? Nothing that was made apart from him. He made everything. Yes? Okay. And so this is his deity. And then finally, verses 4 and 5 show us that he's the source of life and light for humanity. Can you go back to the Gospel of John? John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Yes? And so he's the source. What does that mean, Brother Willie? That means that Jesus is the source of all life, both natural life, you know, the trees, the grass, the not just the plant life, the animal life, the life in the oceans. Everywhere there is life, God is the source, right? But not only that, whenever you see a person that has spiritual life in them, they have been brought into union with Jesus, and you know they've been changed. God is the one that does it in them. It wasn't a decision that was made. It wasn't a seat that they sat in. It wasn't a card that they signed. God came, and he brought new life on the inside. Amen. He's the source. You can't have, you can't become a Christian. I ain't talking about a Christian in word. I'm not talking about a Christian by profession. I'm talking about being a true Christian. It cannot happen without the source. He has to bring new life, right, into you. So, right? He's the source. He's the source of light, a life and light. And so when you think about light, it's God that brings wisdom, right, and understanding. You don't have that on, even after you're a Christian. The Bible says if any man lacks wisdom, ask of God. Why? Because you don't have it all. God is the one that has to bring light to us. Haven't you done this? You've been struggling with a situation, and then you pray, you ask God, you struggle, and then what? Finally, it's like what? The light bulb comes on, and now you say what? I see it. Amen. Where did that light come from? God is the one that helps us see things, right? And until he wants you to see it, what? You're not seeing it. Amen. You can fuss and count. You can do all you want to do. Until God wants you to see it, you won't see it. But when he helps you see it, oh my. Isn't it wonderful? When you can finally see what's going on. Yeah. But he wants you to praise and thank him when that happens, yeah? Did you notice at the end of look at the end of verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God always wins. Always. The Lord always wins. Amen. Always. That's the reason Jesus can say, Father, all those that you gave to me, I did not lose one of them. Those people that you're so concerned about, that you can't seem to get to, you've done your best, you worked the gospel up and down and round and aside, and you prayed, and you get so worried. God says, that's my job. Yeah. God has not assigned anybody in here to save anybody. Amen. You can take that weight off your shoulder. Yeah? The Bible says that Jesus came to what? Seek and save the lost. Thank God for that. Amen. But now he did tell me to plant and water. And so I got to do my part of getting things ready, right? But he always wins. Whoever Christ plans to save will be what? They will be saved. All right? He always wins. He always wins. All right. So that's the deity. Then you see the humanity of Christ is portrayed for us there in verse 14, right? You see verse 14? And the Word became what? Flesh, and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is really portrayed clearly in Philippians chapter 2. If you could turn there real quick. Philippians chapter 2, you remember these verses? It's in Philippians chapter 2 that we find, verse 6, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be what? Grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. That's Christ. He humbled himself that way. He came and he clothed himself in flesh. Look at this. The God who, now you just looked at his deity. The God who made everything humbled himself to the point of being clothed in flesh, allowed himself to be born of a woman. The woman that he made Mary, and then he let Mary bring birth. This is phenomenal. This is staggering. You talk about humility. And then, you know, Philippians says that that's humbling enough, but then he humbled himself with all of the awful treatment in life. Humble himself to actually be treated and killed like a what? A criminal. When he was dying for the people killing him. This is phenomenal. And you think he did all that for me? Yeah. That's the reason there'll never be another one. There's only one God-man. And I'm so glad. Aren't you? I'm glad. I'm so glad he came. He fully identified with us. The Hebrews 2 paints that picture there of how he came and he took on death so that he could identify with us, right? He died in our place so that he could become what? The propitiation for what? Our sin, right? So he fully identified with us. You know how that Hebrews 13 says it? He did that so that he could what? Sympathize. He knows what it's like to lose sleep. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be thirsty, right? So when you're praying to Christ, you're praying to someone who understands. Isn't that good? Yeah. He understands. And then, you know, finally you can see that it was this, when you look at Christ's humanity, God revealed his nature and his character in human form. You remember in John 14, after God says, you know, let not your heart be troubled, believe, and God believe also in me. When he got done with that wonderful text there, Peter, Thomas, I believe, says what? Lord, show us what? The Father. You remember that? And what he said? How long have I been with you all this time? I've been with you 3 years, and here you are saying, but see, this is, look at how patient Christ is as he deals with us. He knows when we don't understand things, but he keeps, and we got to learn to be more patient with each other. And so he says, come on, when you've seen what? Me, you have seen the Father. In other words, if you want to know what God is like, what? Look, you've been looking at God's nature and God's character all these years. And you thought you were just walking around with somebody who could give you fish sandwiches and, you know, turn water to wine and, you know, heal people's, give them sight. And you see what I'm saying? So we ourselves, we just got to keep in mind that he's the God-man. Thank God that he came and he can understand, but he's still God. And when you deal with Christ, you remember you're dealing with God. Yes? Amen. All these people claiming things and by Christ. And even you be careful with what you're trying to bring Christ's name into. I claim this by, you know, by the blood. And you be careful what you're doing. Amen. This is royalty. And you need to make sure that you say what he says. Yeah? So anyway, thank God that we got both his deity and his humanity. And you see how verse 14 says it. Dwelt among us and we've seen his glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So you got that? Glory, grace, and truth. When you look at Christ, look at that. Glory, grace and truth. That's what you ought to see. What is Jesus to me? He's glory, grace, and truth. Don't miss it. When he came to dwell among, they missed it. They missed it. Now, he did take three of them. You remember that up into a mountain, and they did get to see what? And when they saw it, they were so awestruck, they were just out of their mind. Peter just crazy. So, oh, you know, the Bible says he didn't even know what to say. Lord, we just ought to build some tents, some tabernacles up here. Because that was just a little bit of the glory. So you can imagine what it's going to be when he breaks through the clouds. When he's coming back with unrestrained glory. The Bible says people are going to be running. People are going to be so terrified. They're going to want to die. And Jesus says, no, I'm not going to let you die right now. Fear gripping their hearts because I used to call him cursing his name and do all manner of evil in his name. And like Bernie Mac said, if God's alive, I just dare him to kill me right now. All of this foolishness, he's coming. Every knee going to bow. Yeah, every tongue's going to confess. They're going to be terrified because he won't be, he's not meek and lowly now. You're going to see that he really was full of glory. But he's not coming this time with grace. Grace is over. It's judgment now. Thank God that you can see him when he's with glory, grace, and truth. Yes? Don't miss this. This is how you want to see Jesus. Don't wait too long and say all that you can see is the judge. Who would want to be on that side of things? Yes? All right, well, I didn't mean to camp there that long. So that's the person of Christ. And then lastly, let's look at the work of Christ real quick. When you look at the work of Christ, I see two things here. You got the witness of his work. You see verses 6, 7, and 8. Take a look at that real quick. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Yeah, this is John the Baptist, yes? He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. So the Savior needed a faithful witness. That was John the Baptist, right? And you notice that he was what? Sent from God. My brother, my sister, you need to know that God sends people today just as he did back when he sent John the Baptist. And if you are going, make sure you were what? Sent. That's the reason John could be faithful when everybody was against him. That's the reason he could live and eat locusts and be criticized and ridiculed and live lowly. But because he knew he was sent by God. When you are doing what God charges you to do, you can hang in there. Amen. But you need to know you have been sent. Just because Willie asked you to do something, that ain't going to cut it when it gets hard. Amen. I'm serious. Everybody in this room needs to know what God has assigned you to do. I'm not God. I don't know. I know a lot of things that need to be done. But God knows what you need to do. Yes? Yeah, he does. And as I told you before, God didn't save people just to be trophies. He saved you to be your workers. Servants. Yes? So that's the reason we're going to spend all this time in these next few months learning out what we need to do. I've been saved for what? Yeah? We need to know. And so John the Baptist was imagine the privilege of being the forerunner to Jesus. Oh, my, you know, all of us who grew up and read you remember the story about Paul Revere? You remember that whole story? He was the one that's going around and announcing. Who was it coming? You remember that? You remember that story? You remember all? And you can just imagine being the one who's the forerunner announcing that. But imagine John the Baptist. You get the privilege of being the one announcing Jesus is coming. As a matter of fact, he's here. Isn't this phenomenal? He was the forerunner. Why? People needed to be prepared. When you got the God-man showing up, that's too much for people. I mean, you think of all this. You remember what St. Louis did when the Pope came here? I don't know how many of y'all was here. I was working downtown, man. They painted buildings. They took streets on the route. They redid streets on the route that he was going to travel. painted all of the buildings and refaced them on the route that he was going to travel. And yet we treat Christ like he's just, even Christians. We don't honor him. That's what I'm saying. We've gotten too familiar with this God-man. Right? Amen. We need to remember. See, these are the kind of things that bring reality to us, to help us to know. Jesus is not some Santa Claus. You can't just talk to him, you know. He's not even your parent in that sense, you know. He's God. You got to deal with him like he's God, yes? And so he had the privilege of coming to people in darkness to prepare them for the light. Why? Because the Lamb of God who's come to what? Take away the sin of the world. He's here. He's here. Now, you remember this. They had ignored Jesus for 30 years. Think of that. Jesus was 30 years old when John the Baptist announced him. He had been among them for 30 years, and they ignored him. His own family treated him just like anybody else. As a matter of fact, when he announced his calling and was in his ministry, his family went to get him because they said the boy is crazy. You remember when the children were outside, he was inside ministry? The Bible says they went there to tell him that he's out of his mind. Right? And so people had been around. See, they got too familiar with him. And that's what you and I have to remember, is that don't get so familiar with Jesus that you forget who he is. So John had the great privilege of being the forerunner to introduce him. The creator of life and light was here. He's the long-awaited Messiah. And then you look at the reality of his work. You got verse 9? Look at verses 9 and 10. The reality of his work is that the true light had arrived. He was the Savior. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. That's what I'm saying. They had ignored him for 30 years. His own people had ignored him for 30 years. Some people willfully rejected him and salvation. You got verse 11? He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. But thank God that's not the end of the story. Because there were other people, and this is the one that I want you to rejoice in. Jesus truly saved all those who received him, and believed what the Bible had to say about him. This is how you get saved. You have to receive Jesus as he is. Not as somebody tells you he is, you have to receive him as he is. And you have to believe what the Bible has to say about him. Yeah, that's the only way you can be saved. You've got to receive and believe. Receive him, believe the truth about him. Yes? You got verse 12? Look at it. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Amen. Receive him, believe the truth about him. And then finally, verse 13. It's the Holy Spirit that must create life inside a sinner. It's the Holy Spirit that must create light inside a sinner. And I want you to really get this. You remember in John 3? When Nicodemus came to Jesus and he was asking him the questions about himself and his character. And Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one has been born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Amen. Okay? Now, this is really important. You have to be born again before you see your need for Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the reason it's not based on your decision. Amen. God has to have a miracle worked in you first, because then now you see who you are. Amen. Right? Unless light comes and shines in your situation, you think you're Elvis. I was partying. I was having a great time. I thought for sure I was all right. I got by and all my partners and stuff was happening to them. But when the light came and shined in my situation, and it, particularly the light inside me that showed me, then I realized how awful I was and how much I needed Jesus. You see? So God had chosen me before I what? Chose him. Now what Jesus said? You did not choose me. What? I chose you. Okay? That's the reason Jesus can say all that the Father has given me. What? I've lost none of it. Amen. Because he knows you, and when it's time, he's coming to what? Get you. Thank God for that. Because God didn't save me in the church. I was wandering around those clubs and partying, making money and doing my thing. But God brought to my memory with the power of the Spirit what I knew was true. And when the light came on, then I saw that I was a sinner bound for hell. If I didn't cling to Jesus with all my heart. Is that what Romans says? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and what? Believe what? In your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Yes, but the mouth confession is made, but with the heart believes. Okay? And so this is really important now to understand what salvation really is. True salvation is the miracle that the Holy Spirit works in you first. He brings that light in you first, and then you can see, I need Jesus. Amen. You didn't choose him. Thank God for that. That's when you can't lose it. You didn't choose it, and you can't lose it. You can have that one. He chose you. That's what makes it so wonderful. And he doesn't change his mind. Isn't that good? He doesn't change his mind. So the Holy Spirit creates this life and light inside. And you got verse 13? Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but what? Of God. That's the reason I make those two statements. I want you to always remember that to be a Christian means to be born of God. And in John, we're going to see later on in John, it means to be born what? Again. Those of you who've been with me for a number of years, you know what that means. Everybody in this room has been born one time. Like little Cameron. Little Cameron was born the first time a few days ago. But we're looking forward to the day that he will be what? Born again. The first time he was born by Kyrie. But we're looking forward to the time he'll be born by the Father. Amen. Right? Amen. The first time by your mother. The second time you get born is by your, hallelujah, by your Father. And so these are the things we want to get riveted into our heart. This is the gospel. That's right? That's what this book says. These things are written so that you will know that you believe on him, and in believing you may have eternal life. We don't want people to have this false security and these shallow salvation experiences and thinking because you did this and you did that, you were saved. No, no, no. It's what God has done. That's what saves me. Right? Yes. Born of God. All right. Well, you've been patient. And so I want to conclude this way. My brothers and my sisters, hopefully you can see that there are really only two responses to Jesus. We saw both of them here in our passage, right? The first response is those who will willfully reject Christ. Okay? And even when it's in ignorance, it's still willful. Yeah. It's still willful. Because the Bible says God has given enough truth in creation for anybody to look around and see somebody made this. Yeah. And so when Christ is presented, you only have those two choices. One of them will be to willfully reject him. The other response will be to humbly receive and believe in him. And if you are a Christian today, and I know I'm looking at a lot of you, if you are a Christian today, then you've already what? Received him. If you're a Christian today, you've already believed him. And you remember how the verse read? If you're a Christian today, you've already been given the right to be the child of God. This is wonderful. Nobody can give me that right and that privilege of what? God himself. And if you have believed in Jesus and received him, you are already a child of God. Nobody can ever change that. That is absolutely wonderful. Isn't it? You are already a child of God. You've already been born of God and you've already been born from above. You've already been born again. Thank God. My brother, my sister, all of this has already happened to you. And we've just gotten so casual and so familiar with it that we don't appreciate it. And because of that, we don't present it as it should be to those who don't know the gospel. It's getting watered down and it's just sad. But this, once this truth is riveted in your heart, then you can help someone know what it means to be saved. And stop making them think that they need to come to your church. Now, I thank God that we invite people to church. I'm not diminishing that. But you don't want people to think they get saved by coming to your church. Right? You don't even want people to think get saved by sitting down and talking to you. Right? Jesus saves. And that's what you want people to know. He's the answer. Right? You want them to know he saved me and he can save what? He can save you. Yes. And so if you're a Christian, these things have already happened. You already have eternal life in you. The light already shines in your heart. Your spiritual eyes, your spiritual ears are all open, right? Your heart and your mind are now open because you have believed. You have received Christ. You can see and understand the truth. You actually know the truth. And the truth has already what? Set you free. Every Christian in here is set free. You don't have to believe lies anymore. You don't have to fall for that deception anymore. Why? Because you know the truth. That is a wonderful blessing. So live, my brother. Live, my sister, like you're free. Live like you're no longer enslaved to Johnny Walker and crack and all the things that we used to do. Live like you no longer have to chase money and chase the opposite sex. And live no longer like you have to hide behind the black lights and all that mess that we used to do. Why? You're free. Amen. You've been set free from it.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Live free.
Yeah.
Free. Free. We are free. Yes? And if you have believed Christ and received him, you are free. Hallelujah. Amen. But if you have not, if you haven't humbly received him, believed in him, you're not free. And coming to church don't solve it. Listening to sermons, not going to solve it. Studying your Bible, it's not going to solve it. Going to Sunday school, and I'm not minimizing, you understand, any of that. But if you haven't humbly believed and received Jesus, You are not free. And Jesus said it this way, you will die in your sins. Whether you're 10 or 110. The urgency is now. So I said to all you young people, don't just assume that you got plenty of time. No man knows the hour. You don't know. So I plead with you. From what I understand, if you consider the medical emergency that we had, I don't know all the details yet, but if you consider the medical emergency that we had here today, you don't know what will happen to you in the course of a day. And you don't have to get to be my age, you young people. Lord, would you do in this congregation what I cannot? Where I have not done a thorough job in presenting this truth, I ask you, Holy Spirit, make the truth about Jesus clear to everyone today. And Lord, just please, please, please bring someone out of darkness into the light of the gospel today. Help someone to see the urgency of the hour for your own glory, for the good of the souls in this room. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.